Chapter 4, Part 2. As he watched the taillights of the Cavalier disappear, Tony knew he was in trouble. The cops would be on their way soon, and he wasn't going to be there when they showed up. He ran until his lungs burned in the frosted air. It was the only thing he could think to do. He dreaded the phone call he had to make. Al never did appreciate being woken. How would he explain what happened? Al would be livid. Maybe he should have stayed at the gas station and faced the police. His hands trembled as he pulled his phone from his coat pocket. It took him 3 tries to find Al's number in the contact list. He kept scrolling past it. His stomach clenched and twisted as he waited for Al's phone to be answered. Despite the Arctic temperature, his brown, close-cropped hair was soaked with sweat. He shivered as a bitter wind bit through his tweed suit and blew across his damp skin. A sleepy female voice answered the phone. It was Al's wife, Sherry. "I'm sorry I woke you, Sherry. This is Tony. I need to talk to Al. It's urgent." As he related the incident at the gas station to Al, Tony knew the tale sounded weak. Al listened until he was finished, the only reply being, "Okay, Tony." Tony put his phone back in the pocket of his overcoat, wondering who Al would send to pick him up. He hoped it wouldn't be Pitbull. Tony shuddered at the thought. Pitbull was an animal, soulless and hard, and would gut his own mother if Al told him to, like a good dog. A biting wind made him shiver. He huddled inside his coat as he waited. His stomach slammed into his chest when a black sports utility vehicle came to a stop before him. The driver's side window slid down. Pitbull's cold eyes appraised him. His black, overgrown horseshoe mustache covered his upper lip, trailed down the sides of his mouth, and quivered as he spoke. Pitbull gestured with his thumb. "Get in the back." Tony climbed in the back while his stomach twisted. Mike turned his bald head to look at Tony from the front passenger seat. Without the customary greeting of, "What's up, Tony?" Mike turned his cold gaze toward the road as Pitbull pulled away from the curb. The drive was silent and heavy with tension. Tony was left with his thoughts and the sensation of bricks laying in his gut. Al had given no hint as to what was in store for him. At the very least, he would be scolded like a naughty child, and at the worst, he didn't want to think about that. Pitbull was taking Oregon Road into the west side, nowhere near Al's house. "Maybe Al just wants to talk to me in his office," he thought. "Al's family," he tried to reassure himself. "Everything will be fine." Tony entered the store with Pitbull and Mike just behind him. The door to the back offices stood open, the hallway light on. He walked through the dark store toward the only light. The first door on the right led to Al's office. He raised his arm to knock on the mahogany door. Pitbull's thick hand clutched him at the elbow and pulled him past Al's office. Mike stepped up on the other side of him, grabbing his arm. Tony dug his feet into the floor to resist, but the two men pulled him down the corridor as if he were a child. Tony struggled to free his arms. He pulled with all his strength. The two thick men, both with military training, only tightened their grip and continued toward the door at the end of the hall. The museum. Dear God, they were taking him to the museum. Why the museum? A horrifying thought hit him, and his breath caught in his throat. Al didn't believe him. His heart thumped and screamed inside his chest. He couldn't catch his breath as he struggled to speak. "Come on, guys, the joke's over," he tried to sound calm and in control. He was second in this operation. Normally they listened to him. How fast things could change. Mike turned the doorknob. The mahogany door swung open in slow motion. "Come on, guys, no!" He fought against them, but they were strong. "That's what happened. I swear to God, tell Al, please, I swear to God." His eyes fell on the plain wooden chair in the center of the room, and the table nearby, the duffel bag. His heart pounded until he thought it would explode. "No, please, Al!" His final word, more of a scream, echoed down the long corridor. Al could hear him, he was sure of that. His eyes swept the terrible room. A tremble went through his body. The room of horrors. How he used to laugh about it as a spectator. It was different now, seen from the other side. Oh, how things could change, and so fast. It had been a joke, a lark to Tony. When Al had announced that the room he fondly dubbed the museum was a prime setting for those times when persuasion was necessary, Tony had called it a stroke of genius and congratulated him. The primal fear and horror felt when gazing at Al's treasured collection was the foreshadowing of the nightmare to come. It resulted in pure psychological terror. Al was as much an aficionado of terror as he was of medieval torture. Replicas of devices designed to tear flesh, crush bones, cause permanent disfigurement, and insufferable pain were prominently displayed along the walls of the room, as well as framed graphic images depicting various scenes of torture. "Take off your coat, Tony. Stay a while," Mike said, a point of light reflecting off his smooth, shining head. Tony moved his hands to his coat, beginning to remove it. "What's going on?" he said. Mike stepped up from behind and yanked Tony's overcoat off. Tony's gray suit jacket soon followed. Tony's eyes darted around the room, refusing to settle on any of the objects on display. The true threat awaited in the duffel bag. His eyes locked on the bag as his white shirt was ripped off his back, buttons skittering across the bare floor. There was no use fighting. He knew that in the pit of his soul. Tony looked into Pitbull's eyes as Mike secured him to the chair. He shuddered, and a bead of sweat slid down the side of his face. Pitbull was a machine, relentless, and his black suit, a copy of the one worn by Mike, did little to soften his appearance. Tony wasn't laughing now. It was different, being the one in the chair. A tremendous pressure took Tony's breath away as he watched Pitbull set down the gym bag. "Please, Pitbull, come on, man, what are you doing?" Tony said. Pitbull ignored Tony's pleas. Tony watched as Pitbull slid the table nearer. He knew what came next. He held his breath as Pitbull reached into the bag, then placed the car battery on the table. Next came the rheostat that controlled the circuit going into the Picana. He watched Pitbull withdraw the Picana, a bronze-tipped rod, from the bag in slow motion. It sucked the air out of his lungs. He gasped for breath as Pitbull clipped the cables to the terminals. Then the Picana was connected to the rheostat. Tony knew all they had to do was turn the knob on the rheostat, and the Picana emitted a jolt of electricity. It caused extreme pain and burns, but was not likely to be fatal. Perfect for torture. It was very different being in the chair. Pitbull nodded to Mike. Mike turned the knob on the rheostat. Pitbull approached Tony's bare chest with the handle of the bronze-tipped rod clutched in his gloved hand. Tony heard his own voice over the sizzle of electricity. "Please, God, no!" Then there was a pain that seemed to stretch out to eternity. A scream filled the room. The sound was coming from his own mouth. He couldn't stop it. The Picana was peeled away from his nipple, but the burning sensation continued. A strangled sob choked him, and saliva ran down his chin. Time stopped for him as the Picana was touched to his chest again and again. He begged for it to stop. He sobbed and screamed as sweat poured down his body and burned his eyes. The smell of singed hair and burned flesh filled his nostrils. The Picana was finally removed from the center of his chest as the glossy mahogany door swung open. He gasped great breaths as his body shook. Sweat soaked his hair and ran down his back. There was Al. He stood in the doorway, watching Tony with curious, sad eyes, his forehead creased in a frown. He entered the room and closed the door. Al's eyes moved around the room, then came back to the marks on Tony's chest. Al drew up a padded stool. The middle-aged man, his ebony hair just beginning to gray, groaned as he lowered himself onto the gleaming leather surface. Al slid the wheeled stool so close that the knee of his virgin wool slacks brushed Tony's tweed-covered leg. Al's gaze went again to Tony's chest, then up to his eyes. Al sighed, then took in a deep breath that hissed as it passed over his teeth. He tilted his head as he looked at Tony. "You think I like seeing you this way, Tony?" Al paused briefly, then continued, "Well, I don't. You're my baby sister's husband, Tony. My brother. But the thing is, I just gotta know. Are you telling the truth?" Tony sobbed as he tried to speak. "Al, come on, man. I swear to God, it's the truth." Tears rolled down his cheeks. With a regretful look, Al pointed to Mike. The tall, bald man reached for the cream-colored knob on the rheostat as Pitbull took a step closer to Tony. "Please, God, Al, I swear. I swear on Mama Rosie's life, Al." At the mention of his own mother, Al motioned for Pitbull and Mike to stand down. His intent hazel eyes peered into Tony's face. After a moment, Al nodded, as if satisfied. "Okay, Tony. Okay, I believe you." Al stood, pushing the leather-padded stool back, and then stepped away from Tony. He paced up and down the room for a few minutes, as though deep in thought. Tony watched him as his footfalls clicked on the hardwood floor. Each tap made Tony's heart clench tighter. Al turned toward Tony and looked in his eyes. "Well then," Al began, as he continued walking the width of the room, "that brings up another discussion, Tony. Your negligence. You were quite careless to have allowed this to happen." Al halted his pacing and turned to gaze into Tony's face. "Frankly, I'm very disappointed in you, Tony." Al nodded with a steeled expression toward the two men that stood near. Tony screamed before the bronze tip touched him. A chasm of pain swallowed him. After what felt like minutes, Al raised his hand. Pitbull removed the bronze tip of the pacana from his nipple, while Mike switched the rheostat off. Tony sobbed and shook as he imagined what receiving a bullet in the brain felt like. He settled into a moan that sounded pitiful to his own ears when he realized the bullet wasn't coming. He looked at Al, wondering what was coming. Al gazed back at him with a frown. He then took his seat again, but did not slide closer to Tony as he had before. "I'm afraid you have me in a rather tight spot, Tony," Al said in a quiet conversational tone. "Between a rock and a hard place, as the saying goes. I have my own higher power I must answer to. This is a very troubling situation." After a glance from Al, Pitbull untied the ropes holding Tony to the chair. Al withdrew from within his suit jacket a pack of cigarettes and a lighter. Passing them to Tony, Al watched as Tony's shaking hands lit the cigarette. Tony took a deep drag on the cigarette, then gave a short cough as the harsh smoke passed through his raw throat. Al placed the cigarettes and lighter back in the inner pocket of his jacket as he continued, "You're going to fix this troubling situation, Tony. You will return to me my property. You have 24 hours to accomplish this task. Pitbull will be staying close to you in that time, in case you lose your way." Al rose to his feet, then walked to the door. He paused in the middle of opening it and turned back to Tony. "You are looking pretty rough there, Tony. Why don't you get yourself cleaned up before you go home? We don't want Marie upset about all this." Al was silent for a moment, his hand on the crystal doorknob. "Oh, and I know about the redhead, Tony." Tony's breath caught in a gasp. He stared in horror at Al and braced himself for the bullet. "But Marie doesn't have to know about that," Al said, "just like she doesn't have to know about what happened here tonight." Al passed through the door, closing it behind him.